Let's take our Bibles this morning. We're going to turn to the book of John, chapter 1. So we're not in Romans this morning. Not in our normal series. John chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 4. So this message started out with the dream of being a Christmas message. It only sort of achieves that dream, I guess, but I believe the Lord wants us to see something this morning, and I want us to see the difference that Jesus Christ is able to make. That when he comes to a person's life, that person is not the same. He makes a difference, and he can make a difference in your life this morning. That's the promise that is always there in Jesus Christ. He can make a difference. And this morning, if we're honest, we need him to make a difference in our lives. So, John chapter 1, starting in verse 1 through verse 4. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you this morning for Jesus Christ and the change that he has made in our lives. And Lord, we know that there are still things that you want to do in us. So Lord, we ask that you would accomplish that this morning. We pray that you would make a difference in us. And we pray that you would help us to have hearts that are ready to receive what you want to do this morning. And so Lord, we look forward to that and we'll thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. How many of you here like Greek yogurt? Greek yogurt fans, yeah. So I like Greek yogurt, but I think I was introduced to it for the first time like only a couple years ago. Maybe it's the fact that I just didn't realize I was eating it before then. But anyways, this is what I remember. So I think it was a couple years ago, Erica put some in my lunch. So I'm here at church in my office and I get out my lunchbox and there is like a Tupperware container that has what looks to me to be like regular yogurt in it. So I open it up and I take a spoonful of it and I eat it and I go, this doesn't taste like the regular yogurt that I'm used to. But it also doesn't taste bad. It doesn't taste like it's spoiled or gone bad. But I tasted it and went, is this sour cream? That was the thought I had. I was like, and I looked in my lunch, I think, and was like, is there anything that this is supposed to go with? You know, are there quesadillas or something that I'm supposed to dip into this sour cream? But I was like, it tastes a lot to me like sour cream. And I was really confused by this whole thing. And then I found out, no, it's Greek yogurt, which to me is in between regular yogurt and sour cream, right? It's kind of in the middle there. But so I'm looking at this and eating this that I assume to be what I've always thought of as regular yogurt. But there was something like, it was just a little bit different and a little bit unusual to me. There was something different about it. And when we think about Jesus Christ, and when we study Jesus Christ in the Gospels, we find that there's something different about Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ came to this earth, and the Bible says that he came in the likeness of men, right? He was made and found in fashion as a man. So there were a lot of things that people saw in Jesus Christ that looked kind of what they would expect to see in a normal human, right? In a regular person. For example, in John chapter 4 and verse 6, you don't have to turn there, but it said that Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And we go, that makes sense, right? We journey and we get tired. I ride in the car, like we're going to go to Maine, 4 hours in the car, and I get done, I want to sit down again. I'm not even walking all the way to Maine. Just driving in a car, I'm like, I'm tired, I want to sit down. It's the normal human experience, right? We do stuff, we do activities, and we just get tired, and we're like, I need to sit down. I need to find my recliner or the couch or something and take a break. That's what we would expect to see in a normal person, is someone to get tired. In Matthew chapter 4, in verse 2, it says, when Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered, which I think might be a little bit of an understatement. He fasted for 40 days and afterward was and hungered. You go, yeah, I go 4 hours and I'm hungry. Never mind 40 days. It's normal, right? It's normal for a person, if they don't eat for a period of time, that they're hungry. We look at that and go, that's same as everybody else. It's exactly what we expect. Mark chapter 12 and verse 17. Jesus answering said unto them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. What's more human than paying taxes? And he said, you know what? You give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. It was taxes back then. It's taxes today. He was doing all the normal things of life. Isaiah 52 and verse 3. It prophesied of Jesus that he hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. And the idea is he looked normal. He looked average like everybody else. And this is what we find in Jesus Christ, that in so many ways, he looked and acted like a normal person. But that's what a lot of people saw in Jesus Christ. And so, for some people, that's all that they saw in Jesus Christ. I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. In verse 54, Matthew chapter 13, verse 54, it says, and when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? But look what they say about him in verse 55. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas and his sisters? Are they not all with us? Whence then hast this man all these things? And they looked at him and went, there's something different about him, but we know who he is. He's like Joseph's son. He's the carpenter's son, and we know his brothers and we know his sisters. And for some people, it's like all they saw was the normal humanity of Jesus Christ. And that's all they saw in him. But there was something different about Jesus Christ from the very beginning, from his very birth. You know, I was born in Westerly, Rhode Island, March 1st, 1985. Now, I'm not sure, but I would guess that one of the nurses when I was born said I was cute. I'm just guessing, but I think, yeah, I should have, my parents are here, but I think nurses have to. I think they were like obligated to say that babies are cute. But Jesus was born, right, in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. And like at the time of his birth, there were angels that came and gave a message to the shepherds, right? They were out there in the fields outside of Bethlehem. They were announcing his birth. In that message, they didn't say that Jesus Christ was a cute baby or that, you know, he looks just like his mother, you know, or all these sort of things, right? You know what they said about him? They said, he's the Savior of the world. They said, this baby that is born is going to grow up to be the Savior of the world, to deliver Israel. They said he is the Christ, or he's the Messiah, the one that God had promised to send to save the world. That's what they announced at his birth. You know what? We like normally we say the same things about kids when they're born, right? They're cute and all of those things. Something entirely different was said about Jesus Christ at his birth because he was entirely different from everyone else. And even as Jesus Christ grew up, it was obvious that he was different, even in the ways that they saw the same thing in him, where he was tired and all of those human aspects. Yet there was something very different about him. They saw it at his baptism. When Jesus Christ was baptized by John, they saw a dove from heaven. They heard a voice from heaven where God the Father said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. If they watched him, they saw miracle after miracle performed by this man, Jesus Christ. How could they not look at him and see that there was something different about Jesus Christ? And if they really watched him, if they really saw him, they would see the difference. The world needed someone different. They didn't need more of the same. They didn't need more of the rest of humanity. The world needed someone different. If I invited you over for supper, And I said, listen, I want to cook for you. And you were brave enough to try that. Right, but you show up at my house and I sit you down and I put before you a plate that has just white rice on it. Just white rice. And so you sit down and we pray and you start eating and I go, what do you think? How is it? And you're like, you know, you did okay with the rice. You know, it's not overcooked or undercooked, but it needs something else. It is literally just white rice on a plate. You're like, you got to do something to it. You got to add something to it. And I go, I know, I have just the thing. So I go over and I get the ladle or the spoon and I scoop one more scoop of plain white rice and put on your plate. You're like, that's not what I meant. I like, you need something different to add to it, like salt, butter, soy sauce, something, right? You know what you're saying? I don't need more of the same. I need something different. That's what the world was crying out for. Something different. We didn't need just another man who would do the same things as every other man. The world needed someone different that was then able to make a difference for us. Go with me to Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. We can't go through a Sunday morning without going to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And the verse says that because of Adam, right, who sinned in the Garden of Eden, death and sin has passed upon all men. So from Adam, we have this procession of humanity, one after another, who are sinners and that will die in their sin, right? We have this long progression stretching through the ages where every person after Adam was just more of the same, just another sinner who is that sin nature and is living a life of sin, right? One after another. And we could go through the genealogies if we want to take time and look at every single one of them and go, you know what? They were a sinner. That person was a sinner. More of the same, continuing one after another. But then we come to Jesus Christ. And for once in humanity's history, we have someone who is different. Someone who is not just more of the same. And in Matthew chapter 1, the angel comes to Joseph before Jesus Christ's birth. And the angel says that she, Mary, shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's what was going to be different. Because now we had someone who wasn't going to be in sin, but someone who's going to save us from our sin. And if you're still in Romans chapter 5, if you look down in verse 19, for by one man's disobedience, right? By Adam's disobedience, many were made sinners, right? All of a sudden we had this procession of sinners, one right after another through history. But then it says this, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. There's this interruption right in the middle where the obedience of one, that's Jesus Christ, where it was different from everything that went before, because everything before that was disobedience. But Jesus Christ was different. And then he makes a difference where many shall be made righteous because of Jesus Christ. The world needed someone different who could make a difference. But we can make it really personal this morning, because you and I, individually, we need someone different in our life that's able to make a difference for us. Because we were in that procession of sinners, one right after another. We're facing death because of our sin. But that can all change because of Jesus Christ. He can make a difference for us. And no matter how far you come in life, no matter how much you grow, no matter where you are in life, you still need Jesus Christ to make a difference in your life. All of us. We're all there in that same spot needing Jesus Christ. And really, the more we grow, the more we realize how much we need Jesus Christ, how much we need him to change us, how much we need him to do something every single day in our life. And the more we grow, it's like the more desperately we cling to Jesus Christ and the more we learn to trust him and call out to him and depend on him throughout every single day, the more God works that in our hearts. But Jeremiah 17 and verse 5, it says this, it warns us. It says, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, the person that trusts in another man or himself. You know what that is? That's just more of the same, right? When we trust in someone else, or more often I think when we just rely upon ourselves, we're just adding more of the same, more of our flesh, more of our inabilities, more of our failures. We're trying to make it different by adding more of the same thing over and over. And sometimes we find ourselves in that sort of loop where we just keep going back to ourselves and go, well, nothing changed. But then we just try it again. We're like, I'll try harder. And we're just adding more of the same that's not going to make a difference. When the Bible says, Jesus Christ, he's the one that's going to make a difference. He's the one that we need to be a part of our life. What makes Jesus different? That's what I want us to see this morning. What makes Jesus so different? And then what about him makes such a difference in our life? And so we're going to go back to the book of John. John chapter 1. We're going to look at John's account of the birth of Jesus Christ. That's why I said this is a Christmas message. Luke usually gets all the attention around Christmas time. The Gospel of Luke, the classic Christmas story. But John's sort of account of the birth of Jesus Christ is more of a zoomed out look at his birth. But it shows us what's different about him, and it shows us how he can make a difference in our life. So here's what we're told. Look in verse 4. We're going to spend our time in verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So here's what we're told about Jesus Christ. We're going to break it down into two facts. Number one, in him was life. This is why he was so different, because in him was life. Now, taking it at face value, that doesn't seem to be any different than anyone else. I think one of the sweetest sounds is a baby's first cry. Not necessarily the ones after that, but definitely that first one. You know, when that baby is first born and you hear that cry, and it's a relieving sound to hear that they're breathing and they're okay, and you hear that first cry, you're like, oh, everything's okay. And it's just a very sweet sound to hear that cry. And then you see all those signs of life. You see their arms wiggling and their legs kicking, and then you see them trying to, you know, get that fist in their mouth to suck on something, and all of that. You see all of those little signs of life in that infant, in that child, and we don't take all of those wonderful signs of life for granted. We rejoice to see all of those. You know, one of our Christmas carols, Away in a Manger, it says, the cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. Now, I think the song is trying to show that Jesus Christ was different as a baby. But, I mean, I guess if you think a baby crying is a sinful thing, then maybe we would say, well, he didn't sin, so then he couldn't have cried. But if you think crying is just like a normal way of babies communicating, then he probably did cry, right? But, I mean, I'm sure as a baby, Jesus Christ had all those little signs of life that we see. And we look at that and go, in him was life. Well, yeah, so is the rest of us, right? But it's talking about a different sort of life than the life that we would know, that physical life. So turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11. As you're going there, I'm going to read John 5:26. John 5:26 says, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. So it says that Jesus Christ has the same sort of life in him that God the Father has in him. And we know that they are one. But then 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11, it's got a particular word in regard to this life that we need to know. So 1 John 5:11, this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So the life that is in Jesus Christ, where John says in him was life, it's referring to eternal life. Now, I think when we hear the phrase eternal life, one of the words that comes to mind is heaven, right? And the sort of life that is there in heaven. And if you go to John chapter 14 with me, John chapter 14, this is the sort of life that Jesus Christ is talking about. And we could call it eternal life, resurrection life, heavenly life. All of those are talking about the same thing. But in John chapter 14 and verse 1, here's what Jesus told his disciples. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house," right? So in heaven are many mansions. "If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." So Jesus Christ is laying out for them this vision, this picture of heaven, that he's going to go and prepare a place for them, that they would go and live with him and with God the Father forever in heaven. So then in verse 5, Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And here's what Jesus says in verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus said, "I am that life, that heavenly life." And when we think about heaven, and we think about the sort of life that's there in heaven, I think there's two characteristics of that heavenly life that are like the essential parts of the life that we see in Jesus Christ, even when he was on earth. So when the Bible says that Jesus Christ, in him was life as he was on earth, it was the same sort of life he had in heaven that he also had on earth. The same characteristics of him and the life he had when he was in heaven with his Father were the same characteristics we find in Jesus Christ as he went about on this earth. And those characteristics were different than the life in anybody else on that earth. And here's the two characteristics. One is that what we see both in heaven and when Jesus Christ was on earth was that he lived closely with his Father. There was a very close relationship with God the Father. John chapter 10 and verse 30, Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." I and my Father are one, which his relationship is one in every sense of that word, one. We talk about like a unity of goals and a unity of purpose. We could talk about like equality with God. But in all ways, in every way, Jesus Christ and God the Father were one. That is their relationship. And the closeness that existed between them in heaven prior to his birth and his incarnation, it still existed while he was on earth. And the people that watched him, they saw that. They saw how close Jesus Christ was with his Father. In Matthew chapter 11 and verse 27, Jesus said, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." Jesus said, "I know the Father like nobody else does, and the Father knows the Son like nobody else does." He says, we know each other that much. That's the oneness that is there. Have you ever played any of those like newlywed games or those married couple games where like you have to, you're asked questions about your spouse and you have to see if you can get the right answer, you know, and you're hoping that the answers match to see how well you know each other. So they ask things like, "What's your spouse's favorite color?" And you're like, "What is she wearing?" You know, hope it's that one. Or you're like, "Well, where did you go on your first date?" Right? Or "What is your spouse's favorite ice cream color?" Do we have any husbands that are willing to guess that this morning? What's your spouse's favorite, did I say ice cream color? Ice cream flavor. It's the same thing, color and flavor, right? Anybody want to guess that? Anybody brave enough? John, Stefan? Cookie dough. Cookie dough, is he right? Yeah? Oh, good, all right, here we go, good job. So sometimes it's hard to know, right, the other person, and to know them perfectly, and you get in these situations where you're like, I don't want to answer that. Like, I'm probably going to get it wrong. You didn't see me volunteering this. But it can be hard to know people, even your spouse, and to know them very well and perfectly. And yet, this is what Jesus Christ is communicating to them, this perfect closeness between him and his heavenly Father, that this was the sort of relationship they had, that it was perfect in unity and in oneness. God knew his Son with the omniscience that he had, and the Son with his omniscience knew everything about God the Father, the closeness of their relationship. And it was seen all throughout the life of Jesus Christ. We read the prayer of Jesus Christ to his heavenly Father, and we marvel at the relationship that they had and how they knew each other and how they were able to then communicate through that. And that was different. The closeness that Jesus Christ had with God the Father, even as a man, even as the Son of Man, was different. Different than the relationship that anybody else had with God. Even those that were believers, even those that were saved, it was different what Jesus Christ had with his Father. The closeness was different. But then there's something else. So in him was life, right? That heavenly life, it's a closeness with God, but also it's a life without sin. Jesus Christ lived a life without sin. There is no sin in heaven. There is no wickedness. There's no unrighteousness in heaven. Jesus was sinless before his birth, and Jesus Christ was sinless after his birth, right? Even in all his time on earth, Jesus Christ brought that sinless life to earth in a way that hadn't been seen before and has not been seen since. He was entirely sinless from start to finish. And how different must that have been to see someone with perfect honesty and to see someone with perfect obedience to the will of God, a perfect attitude in everything, perfect decisions every single time. How different must that have been for the disciples to watch Jesus Christ and he never did anything wrong, never make a mistake? And that's hard for us to comprehend what that looks like, to see someone that sinless. But in every single thing, the Son pleased the Father. We, even when faced with the temptations of Satan, Jesus Christ didn't give in. He never did anything wrong. That absolute perfection and holiness was very different. We've never seen anyone like Jesus Christ. And this was the life of Jesus Christ. His closeness with his Father, his sinlessness, was entirely different. And we read in the Old Testament, we read very godly people. We think about Abraham and David and people like Moses. And we look at them and say they were very godly men. They were very close to God. And they were very good and righteous. But they weren't perfectly close with God the Father. And we see sin that they had in their life. They weren't the same as Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was different than all of them. In him was life. And that life made him different. The heavenly life that Jesus Christ had separated him from everyone else in this world. So that's what John tells us back in John chapter 1. He was so different because in him was life, a different life. But then he goes on and he gives this second statement. John says that this life was the light of men. So number one, in him was life, but now number two, in him was light. This life, the life that Jesus Christ had, was the light of men. It was as the light of the world that Jesus Christ makes a difference in us, that he makes a difference for us. Because Jesus Christ opened our eyes, he revealed to us the possibility of the sort of life that we could have. We see Jesus Christ, we see his life, and then he shows us, this is the sort of life that you can have. This is the relationship you can have with God the Father. This is the righteousness that you can have. He showed us that. Every time I go to Home Depot, I park in the regular parking lot with everybody else. But then to walk inside, I have to walk through that special parking spot. You know, the pro parking spaces, right? The ones that are under the canopy right by the big doors there. And I've always assumed that those were for like professional licensed contractors, right? And I, you know, whatever, that's what I always assumed. But then it was a couple of years ago, Travis Coombe told me something. I recently looked it up. Basically, anybody can park there. You have, like, technically, you're supposed to have a pro account, but it's free. You can just sign up for a pro account at Home Depot. You do have to put in, like, what your profession is, but apparently what I read is that a DIYer or a homeowner is one of those professions. So technically, I could sign up and I could park my van or my little car right there and go in and get my light bulbs and come out and load them into my car and drive away, right? I wouldn't have to face the rain or the weather. It's right there by the door. I might get some dirty looks, but, you know, it's like opened my eyes to the possibility of like a real premier parking spot there at the front of the Home Depot. Right? Something I didn't know I could do, but all of a sudden I'm like, ooh, now there's possibilities, right? Sometimes things like that happen. We go, I didn't know that was possible. And someone goes, actually, you can. That's what Jesus Christ did for us. He showed us the life that we can have, and he opened our eyes to the fact that we can have a relationship with God, that sin isn't the end for us. God can give us perfect righteousness through Jesus Christ. Go with me to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. That life was the light of men. It's the light for us. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6. John says that if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, here's what he says we have. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. So if we walk in the light, if we walk according to what God has revealed to us, what God has shown us, what God has told us, if we live like we've been told to live, if we do what we've been told to do, it says we'll have two things. One, it talks about fellowship. And if we go back to verse 3, it's talking about fellowship with God and with other people. So, number one, we're going to have a close relationship with God, like what we see in Jesus Christ. Number two, he says, if we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. We'll have holiness. We'll have righteousness. We will have what we see in Jesus Christ. He'll bring that about in our life. In John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus said to his disciples, he said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus said, if you follow me and you follow my words, you'll have the light of life. We will have what we see in Jesus Christ. The one who was different makes a difference in our life. He changes us. He makes us like him. He gives us the same relationship that he has with his Father. He gives us the same righteousness that he has. He does all of that for us. Jesus Christ came to make a difference as the light of the world. He didn't just show us the life he had. He showed us how we could have the life that he has. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him is light, and in him is life. How many of you got to see the solar eclipse last spring? There was a group of us that we were, I didn't even look. How many of you saw it? I asked the question, didn't even look. So yeah, a group of us were back, or we're headed back from the Baptist Bible Academy senior trip. So we were up in Canada, we were on our way back, and we had planned on the way to stop. I think we were in Vermont, Maine. I don't know. We were in one of those northern states. I can't even remember where we were. But we found a spot in a little town, and we're like, we'll stop there. at the time of the eclipse and we'll watch it. So we had a park we were going to, but when we pulled into town, we could see traffic was already backed up and there were a bunch of people at the park. So we pulled off on a side road and found like a river and a nice spot to park there. And so we spent some time waiting for the eclipse. We skipped some rocks. I paid Danny Zoe to dunk his head in the river. It was freezing cold and he did it, so I had to pay him. we had a good time, right? But then when the time came for the eclipse, all of a sudden the moon starts to pass in front of the sun and slowly block out the light. And all of a sudden the world turned dark. And it was really amazing to see that happen. It turned night when it wasn't supposed to be nighttime. But that is, that darkness, that's the natural spiritual condition of the world all the time. The world lives in that sort of darkness, where the hearts of men are dark with sin and filled with wickedness in our thoughts and desires and actions and attitudes and every part. That darkness is just how the world is. In verse 5 of John chapter 1, the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. This was the world. It is the world. It's a world of darkness and a world of sin. That was the only life that we knew, was this darkness. And we tried, didn't we? We tried our best to be who we should be, and we tried to be good and righteous, and yet it didn't change anything. You know what it was? It was just more of the same. Just us adding to that darkness and continuing to live in that darkness and in that sin. But we weren't made to live in darkness. We weren't made to live in sin. We were created to live in light and to live in life. And then like the sun that, as the moon would continue to pass, the sun would come back out and the light began to shine. This is what Jesus Christ did. Right? When he came into this world, he came in as this light and he showed us how life was supposed to be. He showed us what God really wanted for us. His life was the light of men. And I want to ask you this morning, has Jesus Christ made a difference in your life? Has he? Has he done something different in your life? This morning, can you say that God has given you eternal life? Heavenly life, where you know that if you died today, you would go to be with him in heaven. Has Jesus Christ made that difference in your life? John 3:15 says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You know, that's the promise of Scripture, that Jesus Christ can do that for all of us. Where we are in the darkness of our sin, and yet Jesus Christ, when we trust in him, whoever believes in him, he gives to them life, eternal life. Not more of the same, not more that's going to keep us in our sin and lead us to eternity in hell. He makes a difference. He changes us. He gives us the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He gives us life. That's what Jesus Christ is able to do. The moment you believe on him, the moment you call upon him, he makes a difference. But is Jesus Christ still making a difference in us, day by day, moment by moment? And I know we all know what the right answer is. We go, yes, you know, that's what we're supposed to say. But what part does Jesus Christ play daily in our life that makes a difference? What is it in our relationship with him that's making a difference in us day by day? In the areas of fellowship with God, the time we spend with him, in the areas of holiness, right, where God gives us victory and God is changing us, is God making a difference daily in our life? It's as we walk in the light that he continues to change us, continues to make a difference. And I think for all of us today, Jesus Christ wants to make a bigger difference in our life every single day, that he wants to keep changing us, to keep doing something. We know that. We know he wants to make a difference, a bigger difference in our life. Really, what the question do we want him to make a bigger difference? Are we on board with that? Are we participating in that? Are we walking in the light like we should? Because we know if we do that, he'll make a difference. Or are we trying to just do more of the same, stay where we are, stay at the same level? Or are we asking God to really change us, to make a difference? Because this is what he can do. Walk in the light and God will make a difference. Determine right now that you're going to spend more time with God, that you're going to spend more time in his word, that you're going to pray more, that you are going to draw nigh to God, because he has promised if we draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to us. That's what he tells us. We can decide right now that we're going to seek God's help to cleanse us, to give us victory over some things that we've been that we know is not right in our life, that we know should not play a part in our life. But we're asking God determinedly to change us, to make a difference in us, so that we can be holy as he is holy. I want to go to one more verse, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Here's what it comes down to. For ye were sometimes darkness. And can you say that this morning, that you used to be darkness? Because maybe there's someone here that can't say that. And you would have to say, you know, I'm still in that darkness. But you don't have to be, because Jesus Christ can change that for you. But if you can say this morning, you were sometimes darkness, here's what it says. Now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. Jesus Christ came to be different and to make a difference. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Is he making a difference in your life today? Why don't you let him? Why don't you ask him to make you different through him? Let's close with prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are, and we thank you for the difference that you have made and want to make in our life. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us to walk in the light. Help us to do what we know we're supposed to do. And Lord, as we follow you, you're going to change us. You're going to make a difference. And we need you to do that. Lord, we pray that you'd break us out of the rut that we may be in. Lord, that you'd take away the stubbornness and the unwillingness to change in our life. And we pray that you would make a difference in us. Lord, in every single person's heart today, that you would make a difference. And Lord, we trust you and we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.